Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to look at the whole chapter. And we're going to concentrate on two verses. Can you understand from what we've talked about over the many, 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 many times, even just take one slice, take the burnt offering, which we've been talking about, that that's all that you've ever done in your life is try to offer yourself or your function or your activity as a burnt offering someplace to someone, an offering for acceptance. And you've offered it and offered it and offered it and offered it at every one of 10,000 million places. It's never been accepted. You're the little kid that has worked for hours to make a little painting. And you go and you offer it here and they don't accept it. And you go to your mother and she doesn't like it. That's what you're, you understand, in the spirit, that's what all of men's lives are. They're running around making the burnt offering, the offering of acceptance. And they never find a place of acceptance. And that will drive you insane. It will drive you to suicide. It will drive you to sloth. We talked last night that the problem with this society in the West is that there has never been, there are no rites of passage. So that you and the rest of the human race are in the West especially are nothing but adolescents running around the world playing with toys because they've never had the rite of passage. They've never killed the tiger. And so you're still running around, the men are still running around adopting the gods of their fathers, or not adopting them, but they're acting or reacting to them. And the women are still tied to the communal place. They haven't been able to walk through it alone. They're still in their mind responding. There's never been a rite of passage because modern society has prohibited it. So you got, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're adolescents.
That's wild.
You're little kids.
No one's ever said you're a man.
That's right.
It's an outward kind of thing.
You're adolescents. Now you're adolescents playing with Torah. And because of the adolescence, the mark of the adolescent is the I motive. And if your life isn't somehow structured so that the eye gratification can be excited at a particular stimulus, then there's depression. Then there's poor me. Then you're not able to teach. Then you have 1,000 things that you have to do. Then there's no love. There's apathy, the opposite. And you live in apathy. There's no stimulus to cause the zeal of the house of the Lord within you. Because you're still locked in the I motive as a small adolescent child not getting his way. And you devise schemes to try and cause your way to become manifest. You're adolescents raising children. There's been no rite of passage. The tiger hasn't been killed. Do you understand? Do you remember the feeling? I can remember a couple of instances. Most of you have been around me long. You know that I know how to make those little birds. You pull a tail on the. Well, that was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, or real, I was just a teeny little kid when I learned how to do that. And I thought that, I mean, I thought I had the world by the tail, because I could make a bird. And my mother, my mother, she just praised me to no end, and I loved that, you know, and it was good and wonderful. I showed it to my father, and he pulled it and opened it and said, "It's just a piece of paper." And I never thought, I haven't thought about that for years, but it seems appropriate because it was terrible. It caused me to cause doubt. Stop a minute and think about depression or confusion. You've made a bird, and somebody's pulled its tail, and the paper came apart. Because you made the offering at the wrong place. So you get depressed and confused. I challenge you to tell me another reason for depression or confusion other than making the offering at the wrong place.
It's good.
Now you know by now I'm not the one you make the offering to. Lee found out this isn't the place or the people to give adoration to or devotion to. We give adoration, devotion, and all offerings at one place. Well, I don't have any physical evidence as he's accepting it. Now you know the meaning of faith. Anything else that you think faith is commerce. For this line of thought, the meaning of faith is the certainty that you know, no matter what the physical or emotional or sensory perception is, that your offering has been accepted and is a sweet savor unto God. No more mental gymnastics, no more playing games with your mind, no more little tricks about how to get out of depression or get... No more escape mechanisms. Burnt offering, one place, accepted, always. Can you conceive of the freedom, if that could break through your skulls, that that would provide in you?
No.
I could never again cause you to cry. I could never again cause you to put your eyes in yourself. Nor could anyone else in this universe. Now, the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy is about that offering accepted at one place. Do you understand? Do you really understand what I'm talking about when I say that each, not just you, the human race, has spent a lifetime making the offering someplace, any place? Can you emotionalize that? You've tried to find an acceptable place. Now for some of you, it's been any place. You remind me of an old whore in the, you know, some bar. My God, I got a place to stay tonight. My offering's acceptable tonight. The only question is, are you sanctified? Because by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. The word sanctified is that wall that nothing, no height, nor depth, nor power in heaven, nor power in hell, nor nothing can get over that wall. If you could see it once, then there would be a propensity to revenge the disobedience when you see it, when your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience being fulfilled has nothing to do with your fulfilling it. It's to see that He fulfilled it. Once you see that, then your obedience is fulfilled, then you have a readiness to revenge any disobedience. You got it? You don't have to do anything except see, open your eyes. Stop believing the lies, because every place is trying to tempt you into making the offering there. And your mind, man, it loves it. Your mind's a little whore. It's going around making the offering every place it can. And it always will be a whore. If it wasn't, the cross wouldn't have been necessary. The problem is, if He had given the offering to the Father at the place defined, where He is at any given moment would make absolutely no difference, because whatsoever He did in thought, in word, or in deed would be as unto the Father. Joyfully! But it sounds so righteous. Oh, I just can't get into my workout in Plano because now, oh shit, you know, I've went over here and I feel like a whore. So what does he do? He blows off Bible study last night because he feels like a whore. Nobody shows up at Pam and Larry's, so let's watch. Instant in season and out of season. When I had Bible study, I'd sit there alone and search the scriptures during the time. And I was alone a lot. Nobody showed up. Didn't matter. Still doesn't matter. Still doesn't matter if all of you walk out of here, because my offering isn't to you. You're welcome to join me on this incredible journey. But don't try to make your offering to me. Don't let me see you make it to your husbands or your wives. Don't let me see you make it to your jobs or your little ideas and your opinions. There's one place for the offering. Can you see it's the source of all depression? It's the source of all confusion. It's the source of all doubt and fear, because you're making the offering at the wrong place. Understand? Nobody wants to argue with me? Deuteronomy 12. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, an I am people that can have no modifiers. I am. No male, not even the obvious ones, no male, no female, no black, nor white, nor Jew, nor Greek, nor bond, nor free. If you can't have any of the obvious ones, think of the ones you can't. I mean, the list would be endless. There's no modifier to I am. Can't be I am depressed. Can't be I am hungry, or I am naked, or I am ashamed, or there's no modifiers. I am. Now my role is to do two things. One is to show you the mind-blowing danger you're in. And the other is to instantly to show you the grace available. Yeah. Stealth, by definition, has to be in the promise. Bananas is just about to leave the wilderness. But stealth has to be in the promise, because by definition, you now have a desire to reproduce. You're at the young man position. And in that, you know, you haven't seen the fullness, but you're certainly not in Egypt and you're not here. You're standing at the door of the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, I mean in Jerusalem, in the New Jerusalem, about to see, about to observe the next process, so that you can truly claim your inheritance. And you claim it by seeing it. That's all that's necessary. Therefore, when it says, observe to do all the commandments, it means to see. You got it? All right.
Yeah, that'd be, I don't know if that's intentional, but observe to do, it's even implicit.
These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land. Which you shall observe to do. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Which you shall observe to do in the land. You're in the land. It's time you found out about it. Which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. It means you'll never again have to leave the promise. Not even for an instant. In the world you shall have tribulation. If you're not, I've overcome the world. You won't even see it as tribulation. Don't even, as a mosquito, but knowing some of you's response to mosquito, it's not a mosquito, it's a
gnat.
It's not even a gnat, it's a, it's nothing.
It's a ghost of a gnat.
Yeah. You shall, the first thing, the first thing that's said, once you enter the land, you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess served their gods. Serving their gods is idolatry. Tell me one thing in your mind that's causing you angst that isn't idolatry. It's impossible. God tonight is desirous that he would fill your temple. He alone. The Shekinah, the glory of God, would fill your temple. You shall utterly destroy. This is how you get it. How do you destroy it? It's a simple process. You simply confess that they have been marred. Remember that? You simply confess that the idol is marred. You see how stupid it is to worship a marred idol that couldn't even save itself? You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains, the Bama, the high places, mind, and upon the hills and under every green tree. You shall overthrow their altars, break down their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even his habitation shall you seek. And there thou shalt come.
Golly. I was thinking about all the scriptures that talk about seeking.
Amen.
Seeking, you know, the desire of all nations. And, you know, if he's lifted up, he'll draw men unto him. He's the place.
He's the place out of all of the tribes where he chose to put his name. Even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there thou shalt come. And there shalt thou bring, and there ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to do. Doesn't matter what it is. Because why? Because you are come unto the place of rejoicing. It doesn't matter what your hand's doing any longer. Because the only thing that before that determined where your hand was your idol. Were your idols. That was the engine that drove where you placed your hand. Where you made your offering. Every place you've made your offering where it wasn't accepted is by definition marred.
Now he is the place.
We'll see. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, you and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. You and your household. Your household now is taking on a new dimension. Your household has nothing to do with your little houses. Your household has to do with those people in your Bible studies. You understand? From the standpoint of them, they are your only vocation. They are your only avocation. And those not yet seen that the Lord has chosen to place there. They shall be in joy because you are in joy. They shall see because you see. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Why? Why don't you do any longer whatsoever is right in your own eyes? Because by definition, then there is a wrong in your eyes. Or there is you can't live in abandonment because you're still locked in good and evil. You understand? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, called out from among men to do service to men. You have been nailed the lintel of the doorpost at the lobe of your ear. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. This second you're not come, the next second you are come. When you go, this is written just before they were going over the Jordan, remember? But when you go over, it says that, when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and even the Levite that was within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Now, hold your breath. Take heed. That means pay really good attention. Really good attention. Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Remember, you might as well have said, take heed that thou offer not a place, you know, to try to get you accepted in every place that you see. But in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Now, where is that? Where is the place that he chose? Only one. Where is it? Examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. You shall no longer fear the faces of men. You shall no longer commit yourself to any man, for you know what is in all men. You shall no longer live as the Gentiles live in the vanity of their minds. You shall no longer offer your offerings at every place your eye sees. You shall no longer spend your time in mischief, scheming plans. You shall offer up yourself tonight without condition to the Lord thy God here in this place. And every moment, wherever your foot touches, it is that place. That's the promise. Because you contain the promise. Who is blind but my servant? Who is blind but he that is perfect? Blind to what? Blind to the propensity to offer the burnt offerings after the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. According to the blessings of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee, the unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the harp. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. Therefore, the meaning of that, from now on, all things are sanctified by prayer. All things are equal before the Father, except you shall not eat of the blood. You shall not gain your sustenance from anything on the face of the earth. But all things are sanctified. There is no clean nor unclean, good or bad. Wherever you are, therein you live. Therein you eat. Therein you, whatever it is you do. Because now your offering's accepted.
Is he saying here that they can eat of the clean and the unclean animals?
Amen.
How come we haven't heard of this scripture before?
Because you're not ready.
There's always a troublesome verse.
Huh?
There's always a troublesome verse.
To who?
To them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If the life is in the blood, you therefore don't get sustenance from anything that you eat, because you have that to eat that they know not of. You have a table, a place to eat at that they have no right to eat. Now, let the scriptures come alive.
It's a wild chapter.
Only eat, you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it on the ground. Remember that mysterious scripture? In Matthew 23, go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Or you say, if we had been in the days of Christ, we'd have not been partakers with them in his crucifixion. Wherefore you be witnesses against yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. In other words, if you say that you wouldn't have done it, you automatically would have done it. You're a witness against yourself. God knows I'd have killed him. He screwed up everything in my life. He screwed up every ambition, every little idea, every dream, every opinion. I'd have killed him. So would have you. Fill you up then the measure of your father. What does that mean? It means the same thing as when Moses saw the horror of great darkness and they had to wait 430 years that the sin of the Amorites might be fulfilled, so in you. Now, there is, I tell you tonight, that the sin of the Amorites is fulfilled in you. You have filled up the measure of your fathers. You don't have to live in that arena any longer. You serpents, you generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You can't. It's right next door. You want to hear where it is? It's right here. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, or whatever it is, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now, the blood of Zechariah, the blood of Abel we know about. You know about the blood of Zechariah? They stoned him, and the court of the priests were saying exactly what I'm saying to you tonight. And the Talmud says that they didn't cover the blood with dirt, but they let it upon it lay upon the rocks, and the blood seethed for 250 years. Boiled. They couldn't get rid of it, no matter what they did. They covered it and seethed to the top. They washed it. It wouldn't wash away. It stayed in that one place in the court of priests and seethed for 250 years as a witness against them. Blood is still seething. and it's a witness against you every time you put your eyes on yourself for whatever reason. The blood shall seethe. It cannot be wiped off. It cannot be washed away. Abandon yourself. Stop offering your offerings at all those weird places. Stop being afraid of the faces of men. Back to Deuteronomy 12. We're not going to study, but I got to just for the sake of Harriet, we got to study one scripture. Deuteronomy 12, verse 19. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth.
Amen.
Go down to verse 29.
So much for that.
I just had to throw that out for...
That's a retirement plan.
Verse 29. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, and even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now here's the kicker. Listen carefully. Take heed again. What things soever I command you, observe to do. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. You're fine until you hear. Once you hear that thou shalt not offer thy burnt offerings, take heed to thyself, that thou not offer thy burnt offering in every place, but only, exclusively, at the place that he hath chosen, now you have no more excuse. And you don't want any. I promise you. You don't want to watch the blood seethe before you. Am I communicating? Don't offer for acceptance to me, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to friends, to careers, to some plan or scheme that you've devised in your mind. You offer for acceptance the burnt offering to one place and one place only. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. In every place. I'm going to read that exactly, because it's got this great word in it. 2 Corinthians 2. You don't go there, just listen. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The savor of his knowledge is the burnt offering. How is that manifest? I present myself as a living sacrifice. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. Think on these things.
Let me see if I get this right. The place is wherever you are. He is there. That's where the offering is made, in the sense that you just are what you are at that moment, as unto him.
I am just his.
I am.
In every place.
In every place.
At any time, all the time.
No matter what.
But it says unto God, not as unto... So therefore, the response of men to you is immaterial. The response of your mind to you is immaterial.
Praise of God versus the praise of men. We've talked so much about not accepting the praise of men, but this idea of God liking them. You know, he likes that smell, the savor, the burnt offering. And he's praising that somehow.
It's his food.
Christ. Yeah, it's his food.
Yeah.
Hey, it's great. We've talked about this before, but in 30 and 31, we're talking about don't follow after the heathen. And ask the question, how did these people serve their God? And I'll do likewise. We've talked about this before, but nobody says, let's go serve the stupid God or let's go serve the false God. This is looking around to see how other men worship God.
Well, you ask that question because it's successful, and so you're attracted to it. That's why you would say that. Say, hey, how did they do that? It's a how-to. How do they worship their God?
But the question isn't how do they worship their God. It's in your head. It's how do they worship God? Because nobody's worshiping a false God.
Yeah. Or how do they?
Yeah. There's nobody. Nobody. Sisters? There's nobody that admits to worshiping Baal.
It's always God.
Yeah. Well, unless we take Geraldo's neck tonight.
Well. No. Hey, it's your voice.
Go ahead, Ollie. Make it off.
It's your voice. Come on.
Take it, big guy.
Boy, that was really anticlimactic. You want to try it again?
What?
I don't know. It just sort of died.
Take it, big guy.